Welcome and thank you for joining us today for MPC, Milwaukee's philanthropic community, where we bring awareness to nonprofit leaders and everyday heroes who are making an impact in our community through their generosity, their purpose, and their impact. Welcome to MPC, Milwaukee's philanthropic community, where we highlight nonprofit leaders and everyday heroes who are making an impact through their purpose, their passion, and their generosity. I'm your host, Jill Economo, and I invite you to join me for a conversation as we learn how our nonprofit guest is doing that, and you can learn how you can make a difference as well. Our nonprofit highlight today is an organization that was started in London in 1865 by William and Catherine Booth, who wanted to serve the poor, the homeless, the hungry, and the destitute. For 10 years, the organization operated under the name of the Christian Mission. Today, they operate in virtually every corner of the world, serving in over 130 countries, and they're one of the largest non-governmental providers of social services in the United States, with 7,400 centers across the country and assisting over 28 million Americans annually. They're supported by a network of over 2 million volunteers every year, and they focus on disaster relief, poverty reduction, and addiction rehabilitation. So let's find out who this great organization is and all the wonderful work that they do. My guest today is Major Rachel Stouter from the organization once known as the Christian Mission. But after William Booth heard it referred to as a volunteer army, he changed the word volunteer to salvation. Welcome and thanks for joining me today, Major Rachel Stouter from the Salvation Army.
Thank you. It's really good to be here.
It's wonderful to have you.
Thank you.
For listeners who, for whatever reason, may not be familiar with Salvation Army, it's hard to believe, but maybe there are, briefly reiterate the mission of the Salvation Army.
Sure. There are a number of people who probably know about the Salvation Army, but they may just know us for our kettles at Christmas time or our thrift stores or something like that. But what they may not know is that our whole reason for being is to serve suffering humanity in the name of Jesus Christ without discrimination. So we are always looking for ways to come alongside people on their best day or on their worst day so that we can really meet them in those needs and provide an experience for them where they receive the dignity and the care and the hope that they deserve.
Wonderfully said.
Thank you.
That's wonderful. We understand that available emergency housing in Milwaukee is of critical concern. So at the beginning of the show, I talked about some of the things that Salvation Army as a whole focuses on. But recent reports show that almost 5,000 people were experiencing homelessness in Wisconsin, with almost 900 in Milwaukee County alone. Yeah. Since 1979, the Salvation Army has had an answer to that challenge with a respite care facility called the Emergency Lodge.
Yes.
So tell us more about that and who you serve there.
Yeah, we're very fortunate in this community to have this long-standing history of providing that short-term solution to perhaps a longer-term issue. So a lot of people that come to the Emergency Lodge never expected to be in a situation where they needed short-term housing. But when they come to stay with us, we're able to walk with them through that difficult season. So our Emergency Lodge actually provides a number of needs. So when a single or a family needs that short-term stability, they're able to move into a place where they receive some privacy or some semi-privacy I'll talk about in just a second, and some case management, some support for their children, some medical care, and then certainly a lot of hope and some fun thrown in there too. So we operate out of a building that was originally built to be a motel, which is actually unique for shelters because a lot of times, at least for me, when I would picture a shelter, I would kind of picture a large room with lots of bunk beds and cots or something
that,
and a big shared bathroom, you know, or something. But in this situation, we are able to provide some normalcy and some dignity. And We find that to be especially crucial for people who are coming out of trauma or coming out of a situation where they've been victimized, where having a door that they can lock or a bathroom that they can have to themselves is really critical. And another unique to me, anyway, I've been a part of the Salvation Army since 1998, and I've not witnessed a situation like this before. But this particular facility in Milwaukee has a respite care center. So if you or I were in a hospital and we needed some additional care afterwards, where we might need to go to go back to the hospital or a clinic or something to receive some ongoing care, we would do that. And we would probably have family who could provide a safe place for us and help us get there and all those things. But we find that a lot of our neighbors who have been experiencing homelessness or are in unsafe living conditions may not have that safe place to go back to or transportation to get back to a care facility or something. So we've actually partnered with several hospitals within the area. We have volunteer doctors. We have nurses who are committed on our staff.
Oh, very
who
nice.
Provide that in-house care in our house, if you will, for those residents at the time. And that is a unique and critical service that we're able to provide.
And how many would you say you can serve at any given time?
It depends on the number of beds that we have available. But I believe right now we're up to 21 beds that we can offer for that. So that is, we're looking to expand that all the time. But just living within the cinder blocks of what we have, it's an incredible service to offer that I never would have considered would be a need, but it absolutely is.
Unfortunately, right?
Well,
why is short-term emergency housing such a critical piece of the broader system of care?
Well, it depends on there are a lot of factors with that. So let me talk about families for a second. One of the things that a lot of data shows us is that for children, they really need stability. And when families find themselves in a place where no matter what the circumstances were that contributed to this, when they find themselves in circumstances where they need to move, whether it's through eviction or a fire or the flooding that we had last year or any of those things, we know that families need a safe, stable place to land where they're experiencing some normalcy and as little disruption as possible. So having that place to not only make your own home for a little bit, but also where you are intentionally working with case managers who are helping you move toward goals and find that next step, whatever that next right thing is for you, is critical in those times. We also find that the largest and fastest growing segment of our population that's finding themselves in need of housing is our older adult population. And particularly with housing needs being as they are, having affordable housing as unavailable as it is at the moment, having safe places for our older adults to go is becoming more and more challenging. So we're finding that we're having to constantly adjust to how we're providing our services to accommodate whatever part of our population is in most need at the time.
Well, I understand that you're deeply involved in this work. What drew you to it in the first place?
Well, there's a longer story. It's all about a boy from Indiana, but the shorter...
Sounds like a movie title.
But the shorter version is I was really asking God about what in the world he wanted me to do with my life. And I knew nothing about the Salvation Army. But the very first time I went to the Salvation Army, I actually went for a Sunday school class. And that day, I was sitting in a class with people who were in college like I was, and people who were in business attire, people who had slept in the shelter that night, and people who were wearing these weird uniforms that I didn't understand that looked like maybe they fly for Southwest Airlines. And I still remember the lesson from that day. And I was so impacted by people from all different walks of life with all different kinds of experiences coming together on equal plane to experience the love of God together. And in my involvement over the years, it's always been about people. And that might sound trite, and I don't mean it that way at all, but It's so beautiful to be able to come alongside people and remind them that they have dignity and they have worth, no matter what their background is, no matter what experiences they've had, no matter what choices they've made or that others have made for them, and come alongside them, whether they're suffering or confused or they just happen to be walking by. Mm. So what keeps me involved is the people and getting to be a part of their story. And they're a part of mine.
Oh, for sure. And yeah. It goes both ways all the time.
It does.
Right?
It does.
Well, tell us what makes the Emergency Lodge different from other types of shelter or support.
Yeah. So as I shared a little bit ago, our Emergency Lodge is set up a little bit different, which is good and difficult. So we have ongoing physical needs for that building. It's antiquated at this point and was built in an era when we didn't know the things that we know now about different construction things. And so we're constantly working to make our services fit in that building. But one of the really cool things that we never knew about the building that we're in until just recently is that it also has historic value.
Mm.
So the building that we're in was originally designed by Alonzo Robinson Jr., and he was the very first Black architect to register in the state of Wisconsin. And his legacy, I'm sure, when he designed the buildings that were in that whole section, there are three buildings that were known as part of the City Center Plaza. I'm positive that when he designed those buildings, he had no idea what we would be stewarding on his behalf years later or what they would become. So while we've started making do with everything we can inside, the outside still looks today like what his dream was when he set it up. So it's really amazing to be inhabiting those halls that were originally designed for a completely different purpose but are still being used.
And when did you say it was constructed?
So it was constructed in the late 60s, early 70s.
Okay.
And yeah, it was a big mystery that we didn't know until only recently. I always say every day is a school day. And I feel like we've been going to school every day for the past year, just learning about this and getting to know his son, Kim. And one of the unique things is that in not knowing about that, neither did a lot of people that were in the community. And the more that we have learned, the more we're unsettled by the fact that people don't know about it.
Mm.
So now we're looking for ways to make sure that we're telling the story, that we're making the story more obvious without having to come inside where, you know, that's a private space for the people that live there.
Right,
you know,
right.
That's their home. So, just looking for different ways to impact the community in that way.
Mm. Well, what a nice find. I mean, and recently you said you found that out.
Yeah. Just
so
a year
there's
ago.
A reason for everything,
yes,
right?
There is.
There's a reason
why
you're there.
Yes.
and a reason why you do the work you do. What would you say are the most common situations that bring families to the Emergency Lodge in the first place?
Yeah, some of them would be what you would imagine, like evictions, sudden family crises and things like that. But what we also find is that it's hardly ever just one thing. So whether we have people that are suffering a job loss or eviction, as I mentioned, or just a tragedy in their family that you can't really even plan for that.
Mm.
Or they have mental health challenges or other health challenges that have completely depleted what resources they had in reserve. I was working just a few weeks ago, was working with a gentleman who was staying in our lodge. And one of the comments that he made to me just as I was getting to know him was that he never expected to need help like this. Mm. But he found himself in a situation where the house next to him caught on fire and it so damaged the house that he was living in and didn't have fire insurance or anything like that, that he had nowhere else to turn.
Yeah.
You know, tried his friends and family, wasn't able to find support there, and so ended up getting to come and stay with us. And just to be a part of his story for that little stop off in his journey is a real honor. But again, it wasn't something that he was ever expecting to need.
Yeah. Well, we all know that those things happen at times.
Do.
You know, things are unplanned. And it's so nice to know that people in that neighborhood know that it's there.
Mm-hmm.
But you serve the greater Milwaukee area. Do you go beyond that, outside of Milwaukee?
Yes.
So tell us, walk us through a typical stay for somebody, but also, like, where are people coming from? How long can they stay?
Yeah. So we find that people come from all over the place. So I'm saying they come from other states in some cases.
Oh, other states also.
So it depends on what their journey has been. If they've been experiencing this or if they're fleeing a situation, you know, or something like that, they end up coming to the Milwaukee area for whatever reason and needing stable, safe, supportive housing. So there is a network that you can go through and be referred to us. So one of the unique things that I find to be really helpful in Milwaukee is that you can't just rock up to a shelter and knock on the door and ask to stay there. You actually go through a collaboration of agencies who work together to make sure that we're putting you in the place that makes the most sense for that season. And one of the cool things about Milwaukee is that those collaborations work even in the background. So, for example, when we experienced flooding not long ago, one of the centers that is downtown had their roof collapse, and they were able to reach out to us, and we were able to take on a lot of their residents immediately and house them when in other places, you know, just scrambling in a situation like that. You're the emergency care providers. You don't expect to be in an emergency yourself. So when someone needs care and they find themselves find their way to us, then we're able to put them up there. Then a typical stay depends on their trajectory. So they're from the moment they come in, they are assigned a case manager who begins working with them immediately to determine what their goals are, what their needs are, what their other concerns are. And we try to be as low barrier as possible. So if they have a service animal, if they have, like I mentioned, if they have unique medical needs or regardless of what their background is, we try to accommodate them the very best that we can.
Okay.
And then the length of their stay really depends. Right now, I was just speaking with a family a couple of weeks ago about their trajectory, like what it looks like their opportunity to get into safe housing is going to be. And they were on a list that they had been on for 3 years.
Oh, goodness.
3 years it was taking them. So there are some residents who stay for a couple of weeks, a few months. There are some who have been with us for over a year.
Okay.
So we don't really, we try to move them through and make sure that they're making progressive steps.
Sure.
But we also don't put a cap on it necessarily.
That's nice, though, because, again, you just don't know.
Right.
I mean, if somebody's waiting, if they're there because of a house fire, like you said,
right,
and they're waiting for their house to be, for them to move back into again, who knows how long something like that is going to last, how long it's going to take. So knowing that you don't say you have a month that you can stay here and then you have to find something else.
Right.
I'm sure is people are so happy with not having that restriction. How does the Emergency Lodge reflect the Salvation Army's mission in action?
So our mission is to meet human needs in the name of Jesus without discrimination. So our whole mission is to allow people to experience the love of God, whether we ever get to tell them about him or not. So in those moments, for example, if I wanted to tell you that Jesus loves you, but your stomach was growling, you're probably not going to hear me. So the better thing for me to do is for you to experience what the gift of food is like from the one who made you, so that you can be impacted by that. The same is true if people are worrying about where their children are going to sleep tonight, or where their next meal is going to come from, or how they're possibly going to get the medications that they need so that they can quiet the voices in their heads. I mean, there are very real lived physical circumstances that we want to help people mitigate and experience some support in that so that they have some peace.
Okay. Well, in that, it's a wonderful way of you showing Jesus in maybe a covert way, you know, because we talk about, you know, you can do it in a way that is covert or overt, and it just depends on the recipient and what situation they're in and how open they are to receive the information, as you said. But I imagine that there are some challenges in sustaining this work as well.
Yes.
We're going to take a quick break. And when we return, Major Rachel will share what some of those are for the Salvation Army and what you can do to offer support. So stay tuned and we'll be right back.
Milwaukee's philanthropic community is brought to you by Ellen Becker Investment Group. This year, EIG celebrates 30 years of thoughtful growth, personalized service, and community impact. From a kitchen table vision to a boutique wealth management firm, EIG has always put people first, offering transparent advice, fiduciary care, and education that empowers families for generations. To learn more, visit ellenbecker.com.
Welcome back to MPC, Milwaukee's philanthropic community. I'm your host, Jill Economo. And my guest today is Major Rachel Stouter from the Salvation Army. So I said before the break, Rachel, that a lot this work that you do, there's got to be challenges along the way. What would you say are some of the biggest challenges that organizations like yours face in continuing the work that you do?
Yeah, it's a really good question. Some of the challenges that we face, a lot of our other helping organizations in Milwaukee will completely identify with. Things like the constant changing needs of the people that we're serving, the way that those needs evolve depending on what's happening within the economy, for example. Sometimes we have people who have been longtime supporters of the Salvation Army who find themselves in a place where they actually need our help. Mm. So, you know, that's a unique thing as well. And then still helping them retain their dignity the same way that we would serve somebody who was never able to help the Salvation Army,
right,
you know, and
right.
have their dignity. We also face that we want to be long-range planning. You know, we want to do that while also we have to stay focused on the needs as they are right now. And so keeping that long-range planning going and thinking about how we're planning ahead and all of that while also keeping our eyes on what's happening now and how it's currently changing can sometimes be pretty complicated. We're also, and I'm sure others are facing this as well, but as I mentioned, that ongoing weirdness of being in a building that wasn't designed to shelter hundreds and hundreds of people, you know, and cycle them through. So when you have to turn bathrooms into storage closets and, you know, all these different things.
Or storage closets into bathrooms, maybe.
Yeah,
in some cases,
yeah,
you never know.
Yeah. So, but it is an opportunity, we say all the time. No day is boring. And we also, I think some of the other challenges that we have are just kind of helping people understand that if somebody finds themselves homeless, it's not because they made poor choices. Mm. It could be, but it's usually not. You know, there are stigmas, I think, attached sometimes with people who find themselves needing help from an organization like the Salvation Army. And we want to help break that down. And like I said, there are people who know that if they need help, they can come to the Salvation Army. And I love that. But it's almost even better if they get to come and see it themselves so that they can break down some of those stereotypes and experience that it's this person who they're sitting across from in the moment has had very similar circumstances in their life as me. And we just ended up on two different paths, you know, and so just normalizing some of that is helpful, but also stirring up that compassion that stirs them to want to get involved and want to help.
Yeah. And I don't know if everybody realizes that Salvation Army, it has a faith foundation.
Yeah.
And I guess my question would be, do you ever have people that say, you know, can we receive your services even though we may not have faith ourselves?
Yep. One of the things we like to say is you don't have to believe to receive. That's not
that.
Our point. We don't believe that the love of Jesus comes with strings attached at all. Mm-hmm. So we don't force our perspectives, our Christianity, or our theology on anyone. In fact, it's not compulsory at all to even know that we are a church. Now, of course, like I mentioned, we want people to experience the love of God.
Right.
So, but we when we read about Jesus in the Bible, he's going into weird places with people who are not in the most ideal circumstances and serving them in a way and saying, hey, just come follow me, but not, or I won't help you anymore.
Right. Not expecting anything in return.
Yeah.
It's a gift.
Yeah. It is. It is a gift.
Yeah.
So absolutely. We take the without discrimination part of our mission statement very seriously.
Okay. Yeah. Well, I said before that it's got to be overwhelming at times, especially when the need is so great. You talked about that before. What keeps you motivated, you personally, to continue to do the work that you do?
It's the people. And I know I said that and I mean it we've had such amazing opportunities that I could not have written. One of the weird things that I get to do, it's weird to me because it's not normal. As a Salvation Army officer, we get transferred around to different roles and different opportunities all the time. And my family and I, we've served overseas, we've served all over the Midwest. Like, there have just been lots of different opportunities. But here in Milwaukee, I developed a hobby of doing nail care for people.
Okay.
And so one of the things that I get to do at the Emergency Lodge is go and do nails for men, women, for everybody who wants it for free. And one of the things I love about that is that for a couple of hours, I get to sit across the table from someone and like actually hold their hands, not in a creepy way, but, you know, and hear their stories and share those moments. And so there was a mother and daughter who were in our shelter, and I got to meet with them. And it happened to be that I was there with enough frequency that I got to see them a couple of times. And then I didn't see them anymore. And I see enough people that, to be honest, I kind of forgot about them. I'm in the moment with the people. And later, during our Christmas toy shop, I was serving there at our distribution center, and I'm checking people in. And every so often, we have people that try to, for lack of a better phrase, like game the system. They try to come back through, you know, or something like that. And we're always like, yeah, I think we've already seen you. You know, thank you so much for coming back, but bye-bye now. You know, so there was this mother and daughter that came, and the older mother just had this smile on her face, and she looked very unique. And I looked at her and I said, you look very familiar to me. And she's like, yeah, how are you doing? And I'm like, I'm good, but I think you've been here already. And she said, no, I haven't. And I said, I know, I've seen you. And she said, yeah, you're our nail lady. And I was like, oh my gosh. And so as I was talking with them, I was like, how are you? You know, I haven't seen you in so long. And they said, yeah, we got a house. And we're
wonderful.
Hosting Christmas this year.
Oh, wow.
And I was like, oh, my gosh. You know, if we just we're all crying, you know, and it was just so cool to see them come full circle. And but still knowing that we're there to support them. I mean, they were at our toy shop so that we could support them and help take some of the load off for Christmas with them. And it was just so neat to see that. And we have another. So there was another young man that. We have a group called Echelon, who in some of the communities around the nation where we serve, it's a young professionals group.
Okay.
And they're in a place where they're ready to give back, and they want to know more, and they want to volunteer and get involved. And in one of the communities where we were serving, we were giving a tour of one of our shelters to this group of young professionals. And I will never forget, as we rounded a corner and walked into the dining room, this young man who was a part of that group stopped in his tracks. And I said, are you okay? And he reached out to the director who had been there for about 40 years. And she said, what's wrong? And he said, I've been here. Mm. And she said, oh. And as he stood in that dining room, it started coming back to him that as a child, his mother, and he knew this, but he didn't know, like he didn't realize what happened, but he knew that his mom had run away with escaping domestic violence with he and his siblings, and that they had stayed in a shelter, but he had no idea that it was our shelter until he walked into the room where he had had family dinners with his mom and his siblings. And it just all came back. And here he was now, all these years later, in a place to give back and just had not connected the dots. But it was such a powerful moment for him to reconnect with them. And then that gave him his why, you know? And so you don't always get to see the fruit of what you're investing and sowing into people's lives, but every once in a while you get to, and it's just amazing. Or you just get to hear, you get to experience someone who's in what for me would be such a discouraging time of my life, but they're so full of joy and so grateful for the blanket they used that night, the friend, the roommate that they had in their room, running water, you know, just things that I use every day and I don't even
take for granted.
Yes.
Yeah.
Yeah. But it's the people. They keep me motivated.
Mm. Well, as people in the community, we understand that there are things that we can do, individuals, businesses, partners, volunteers. We all know that they play a major role in so many different ways. Mm-hmm. But if somebody's listening and they like the mission of the Salvation Army, they want to help in some way, but they're not quite sure how. Mm. Tell us what's the best way for someone to plug in to the work and the mission of Salvation Army.
Yeah. So the first way I would say is reach out to me or reach out to the Emergency Lodge and ask to come take a tour. We would love to show you what we're doing and to show you how you could get involved. So if that's helping to manage our donation room so that families have a care basket to leave with, or if they came in without clothes for the next day, you can help them find clothes to wear the next day, you know, and just different. We have lots of ways for volunteers to get involved. We also we're also constantly in need of financial support, frankly. It's not just so that we can help provide financial support to the families, but also we have a staff to pay. You know, mm-hmm. we have overhead mm-hmm. that we have to keep the lights on in our own building. So we need that kind of support. But we also need collaboration. Mm. We need people who are invested and who are wanting to become long-term partners. So again, reach out to me, reach out to our shelter director at the Emergency Lodge, go to visit us online and connect with us. We would love to continue to start a conversation and then continue
and
it
then
for
continue
a long
it.
Time.
Yes, yeah. yes. Well, yeah. that sounds wonderful. Yeah. You know, we talked about a lot of different things today. Mm-hmm. Hopefully our listeners learned some things that maybe they didn't know before about the Salvation Army. But if you could say one thing that you want to sum up or one idea that you want to leave with our audience, what would that be? Mm.
I think if there was one thing I was wanting to leave with you, it would be that need knows no season. And while it's usually very popular to give at Christmas time, there are neighbors in your community who need your love right now. And we're a way that you can help love them. And we'd love to have you be a part of that.
Okay. And so Facebook page, website,
yes.
what's the best way?
Yeah. So the best way to find us is SA Milwaukee. So whether that's samilwaukee.org to find us on the web or Salvation Army Milwaukee on Facebook or X or Instagram, like we're available. And then that will connect you to the wider Salvation Army world.
Okay. And I imagine you could just, Google Salvation Army of Milwaukee and it takes you right where you need to be.
Yes.
Okay. Wonderful. Well, thanks for visiting with us today, Major Rachel Stouter from the Salvation Army. I just appreciate you sharing just all the different ways that mm-hmm. the Salvation Army is reaching out and supporting our community, maybe in ways that I certainly wasn't aware of the Emergency Lodge, and maybe some of you listeners weren't as well. And so it's so wonderful to learn all the things that you're doing, how you're making a difference in the community. So thank you.
Thank you
for doing that. And thank you for being here today. So join us again next week as new episodes drop every Thursday to learn about wonderful nonprofits like the Salvation Army that is doing great work in our community and just learn how you can make a difference as well through your time, your talents, or your treasures. And as always, whether you're at work, at home, or out in the community, find a way to be a blessing and give a blessing. Have a great day.
Thanks for listening to this episode of Milwaukee's Philanthropic Community, brought to you by Ellen Becker Investment Group. If something in today's conversation resonated with you, share it with a friend or family member. And if you haven't already, subscribe so you never miss an episode. At Ellen Becker Investment Group, we believe education and community impact go hand in hand. That's why we love bringing you thoughtful insights from leaders and organizations who care deeply about making a difference in Milwaukee and beyond.
Please note, this podcast is intended for general informational purposes and to highlight philanthropic efforts in our community. The opinions and missions expressed on MPC do not necessarily reflect the opinions of Ellen Becker Investment Group employees and leaders. For more resources, visit ellenbecker.com. We'll see you next time.